Kidney School, www.kidneyschool.org. Module 14, Patient Rights and Responsibilities.
Hi, my name's Nancy Spaeth, and I'm a member of the Life Options Council. My kidneys failed in 1966 when I was 19 years old. Today, I'm a grandma, and I work full-time as a rehab nurse. I'm having a really good life with kidney failure, and you can too.
There is an old tale about twin brothers who were orphaned as infants. An uncle adopted the boys, but was so poor that he could barely feed them. One day, when the boys were grown, a finely dressed man came to their home. He said that he had spent years searching for them. He told the boys that their father had entrusted him with a deed to many acres of land that he owned, and he'd promised to hold it for the boys until they were of age. He kept his promise by giving them the deed. The boys could hardly believe they now had rights to many acres of land. They were no longer poor, but each had his own ideas about how to use their rights. One wanted to sell the land and live off the profits. The other wanted to farm the land and build a homestead. So they split the land in two, and each followed his desires. Before long, the brother who sold his land ran out of money. But the brother who had farmed his land was doing well. Both brothers had the same land rights, but only one used his rights in a responsible way. This story teaches us a lesson. Each role we take on in life as a worker, parent, patient, or homeowner carries some rights. But our rights can only work in our favor if we use them responsibly. You can think of rights and responsibilities as balancing each other on a scale. You may not have thought about it before, but being a person on dialysis means you have certain rights. Knowing what these rights are can help you to get the best care, know key facts about your health, make good decisions about your treatment, and be treated in the manner you deserve. Having rights also means having responsibilities. For you, this means the job of being an active partner in your healthcare. Active partners do more learning, listening, speaking, and decision-making than people who let their doctors or care team do it all for them. Your payoff is much bigger when you are an active partner. You'll be less afraid of health problems because you're always learning about new ways to take care of yourself. Your health may be better. You'll feel more in control of your life because you are the one deciding. You will have more hope for the future. Here's what one patient says about how he stays involved in his standard in-center hemodialysis HD care. My nurses are great. I usually have my flow sheet filled in before they put my needles in, and then they can program the machine. I always have them move the machine so that I can see the numbers, and I can reach to take my blood pressure if I start feeling funny. I usually beat them to the punch and have the vitals filled in before they come by every half hour. They have come to realize that I know my body well enough, even when the machines don't detect the problems. If things aren't perfect, then I make sure they get as close to perfect as possible at any given time. In this module, we will walk you through the key rights and responsibilities you have as a kidney patient. These fall into three main areas. 1. Seeking information. 2. Taking part in your care and treatment. 3. Being treated with respect and dignity. As we tell you about each right, we will also help tell you about your job, so you can get the most benefit from each one. Your starting point is learning what your rights are. For years, the brothers in our story were poor because they didn't know they had rights to their father's lands. Once they knew, they decided how to use their rights. One did well, and the other did not. Our goal is to help you live well with the rights that belong to you. Note, you have some rights under federal regulations that govern dialysis clinics. You have the rights under federal law. Other rights may vary according to state law. So let's get started. Your right to information. You don't have to be a spy to gain access to your vital health facts. In fact, you have a right to know. 1. Your health problems and treatment options. 2. That you can do as much of your care as you are willing to take on. 3. What services your clinic offers and who provides your care. 4. Rules for patient care in your clinic. 5. How much your care will cost and sources of payment. 6. What to do in case of an emergency. 7.
how to file a complaint or a grievance. 8. How to get a copy of your medical record. And 9.
That you can have an advance directive.
Let's look at these one at a time, along with the jobs that go with each one. Your health problems and treatment options. Rights. You have the right to know about your health problem. Your doctor or care team should explain in plain words the name of your condition, what you can expect, problems you might run into, and your treatment options, all of them. If you have early kidney disease, lifestyle changes, drugs, or other treatments may help slow it down or even stop it in its tracks. Talk with your doctor about your options and learn which ones work best for you. If you have kidney failure, you may be surprised to learn that there are other treatment options other than standard in-center HD. Standard in-center HD is done 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. You have a right to ask for a shift that will fit your life. If your center does not have one, they must tell you where you can find it. HD can be done at home, either 3 times a week, every day for a short time, or even at night so your days are free. You can also do self-care HD in a center. Peritoneal dialysis, or PD, is treatment that you can learn to do at home. It uses the lining of the abdomen to clean your blood without bringing it outside of your body. You can use a machine to do PD treatments at night while you sleep, or do a 30-minute treatment by hand 4 times a day. You may be able to get a kidney transplant or a kidney pancreas transplant if you have type 1 diabetes. You also have the option of no treatment. Talk with your doctor about your options and learn which ones will work best for you. If your center does not offer the treatment you want, they are still required to tell you about them. You are the one who must live with your treatment each day. Your choice needs to fit your life. If you qualify and decide you want a transplant, you have the right to choose which transplant center to work with, depending on what your insurance will pay for. Responsibilities. Your medical problem is your medical problem. What do we mean? Well, you are the one who has to live with the treatment each day. So your job is to learn all you can. Ask questions, go to the library, look on the internet, or call a kidney disease organization or your local ESRD network. Make an informed decision about what treatment you want, and do your part to follow through so you can feel your best and keep doing what you enjoy. If you decide you want treatment your doctor doesn't offer, you may need to change doctors. Some patients have even moved to another town to get treatment that wasn't offered where they lived. It's your life and your call. And you can choose to change treatments if the one you picked is not helping you feel better and stay active. Where can I learn about my treatment options? Talk to your doctor and your care team and tell them that you want to know all of the treatment options for your medical problem. You can also listen to Module 2, Treatment Options for Kidney Failure, to learn more. To find centers that offer home dialysis, visit www.homedialysis.org. Esteban says, "When my kidneys shut down suddenly, I first went on emergency hemo, but I don't like needles, so I went straight away to PD. PD was great for the first 2 years, but after a second bout of peritonitis, my dialysis became less and less effective. Toward the end, I was fluid restricted and could not control my phosphorus. When I came down with a serious, complicated case of peritonitis, I had the PD catheter pulled and have been on standard in-center HD since. Once I got my complications resolved, I have been stable. In fact, the most stable since I've had kidney disease. I drink about 1 liter a day, which isn't fun, and I miss fruit salad and orange juice, but overall, I'm doing great." Pat says, "The more you know about your illness and treatment, the better off you'll be. My husband is a home hemo patient. I run his treatments. The nurses who taught me were great. Every once in a while, he has to go to the center. He always asks questions and is always answered. Question everything. That's your right. You're responsible to yourself to see that your treatment is the best you can get. Don't be afraid or timid. Please speak up for yourself. My husband gets information from the internet and from our online support group. We don't hesitate to take any information we want to the nephrologist. We ask him questions all the time. Remember, the more you know, the healthier you will be." Once you choose a treatment, Your job is to do your part to stay healthy. This includes taking all your medicines at the right times, coming to your clinic visits on time, telling the doctor or nurse about any symptoms or problems you are having, staying as physically active as possible, asking questions when you don't understand something, getting all the treatments your doctor prescribes, caring for your catheter if you're on PD, caring for your vascular access if you are on HD, following your meal plan and fluid limits if you are on dialysis. As one transplant patient puts it, "I've learned that you have to keep asking questions, keep showing an interest in your care." Where I was, once you showed that you were interested, they did a lot to help you. I knew a lot of patients who didn't want to know about anything on dialysis. They came in, sat down, and didn't seem to care. Another person and I were the only ones who seemed interested. They used to bring in nephrology magazines they got for me to read, a lot of stuff from the various kidney groups also. Maybe they feel it's rare for a patient to be so involved. I don't know. I've learned a lot about hemo and PD. Every day it's in the back of my mind that I may have to go on it again, so I have to keep up with everything. Services your clinic offers. Rights. You have the right to expect a clean, well-run, and adequately staffed clinic that follows all laws and safety rules. The clinic should try hard to see patients at their appointment times, although this can't always happen. Care team members need to wash their hands and put on clean gloves before they touch you. Good healthcare starts with a skilled, well-trained staff. You have the right to ask any healthcare worker about his or her training and background. Ask your center about your rights when trainees work with you. Can you refuse to allow them to treat you unless an experienced staff person is on hand to supervise? If you plan to do standard in-center HD, this will be important for you to know, as new trainees are common. Here's how one patient handled it when her center had students in training. "Recently, I've had several visitors in white smocks staring at me. Okay, common sense says they are students, but I don't like it. Since I am deaf, I am very uncomfortable with two people standing there talking about me without me understanding anything. The tech was showing them my chart, and they were obviously talking about me. I kept staring right back at them, but no one said a word to me. So I brought this up in a meeting with the nurses, and they said, 'Oh, they were only students.' I said, 'I don't care who they were. I expect them to introduce themselves and explain why they are here.' They asked what they could do, and I said, 'Hire a sign language interpreter when you know they are coming, or tell them to train on someone else.' So that's what we decided. What if I don't want a certain staff person to take care of me?" This question comes up most often for people who are using standard in-center HD. If every patient refused care from a certain staff, it would be very hard to run a center. Some centers even have a policy of not allowing patients to refuse care from a staff person. You need to know your center's rules, and you need a good reason to refuse care from a trained staff person. It's wise to write down your concerns. Ask yourself, if the person made a mistake, did he or she apologize to me? Does this staff person treat me with respect? Is this a one-time mistake, or is there a pattern of errors? Your first concern is to stay safe and healthy. If you fear that a certain staff person will harm your access or risk your safety, ask to meet with the charge nurse or head nurse. Explain the problem and offer an answer if you can. Later in this module, we'll talk about complaints and grievances, but it's best if problems can be settled without taking these steps. Do I have the right to know if a dialysis center reuses dialyzers? Yes. If your center reuses dialyzers, you have the right to ask them to show you how they will keep you safe. Plan to be one of the people who checks the label before treatment to make sure you get your own dialyzer back. Getting someone else's dialyzer could expose you to someone else's illnesses. You can also ask the technician to show you the test strip, proving that the chemicals used to clean the dialyzer have been rinsed out so they don't get into your bloodstream. Responsibilities. Your job is to help your clinic work as well as it can by being on time for your dialysis visits. If you know you'll be late or can't make an appointment, call. This will help the clinic serve all of its patients better, including you. You also have a job to treat your clinic staff with respect.
Yes, they work with you. But if you want something that isn't urgent and you can see that they're busy, try saying, "When you have a minute, would you mind?" On a very busy day, you may have to ask more than once. Please and thank you go a long way to improving relationships. Someday you may be the one with the urgent need, and others will have to wait while the staff takes care of you. Rules and policies for patient care. Any clinic you go to will have rules for how care is given. These may include hours that the clinic is open, having a payment plan in place, and even how patients must behave in the clinic. You have the right to know what the clinic rules are and to be told when they change. The more time you spend in a clinic, the more these rules can affect you. If you are on HD in a center, the rules may govern your life for 15 hours or more a week. In a center, the rules may cover whether you can eat or drink during treatment, whether you can get a shift time that will let you keep your job, whether you can have a visitor during treatment, whether you can use a cell phone or a laptop computer, whether your treatment time will be cut short if you are late, when the center can refuse to treat you, what you need to bring if you visit the center on vacation, when the center will provide treatment during holidays. Responsibilities. Your job as a patient who goes to a clinic is to know what the rules are and to follow them. If you don't agree with the clinic's rules, you have some options. Ask to meet with the head nurse or administrator and see if there's another way for the clinic to get the same result. Talk to your doctor to see if he or she can help you make a change or find an answer. Follow your clinic's grievance process to file a complaint, and we'll talk more about this later in the module. Vote with your feet. Find another clinic. This may mean changing doctors or even moving to a new area, but it may be worth it for you. If you are on dialysis and you don't agree with your center's rules, you may want to think about doing home treatment, where you can have more control over your day-to-day care. Yelling, making threats, and violence are not responsible ways to behave and will not help you get what you want. In fact, these behaviors can get you discharged from a clinic and make it hard to find another clinic that will treat you. Even though some rules can be very frustrating for you, your best and safest bets are to advocate with a clinic manager and/or your doctor to change the rules, file a complaint or grievance, or find another clinic. Costs of care. Rights. Medical care in the U.S. can be costly. Even if you have Medicare for dialysis or a transplant, you could still be facing high out-of-pocket costs for drugs, tests, doctor visits, and treatments. It's always best for you and your clinic to have other health care insurance that will pay for some or all of the amount that Medicare won't pay. You have the right to know what your costs will be that are not covered by Medicare and to know what resources may be able to help you pay for your share. You also have the right to full details of all clinic and doctor bills. Your clinic's billing office should file insurance claims and send them in. Your social worker or clinic's financial counselor can suggest places you can turn to for help paying your bills. Responsibilities. It's your job to know what your coverage is and to pay bills that your insurance and Medicare don't cover. It's in your best interest to check over your medical bills and make sure they are correct. Errors can happen, and you or your clinic could be overcharged. If your insurance changes, tell your clinic right away. It can add more stress if your clinic bills you because your old insurance turns down your claim. If you are on dialysis, the American Kidney Fund's Health Insurance Premium Program, HIPP, may help you pay your Medicare insurance premiums if you meet their guidelines. This program is funded by donations from dialysis clinics. To learn more about it, talk with your social worker or visit www.kidneyfund.org and look under AKF programs. Here's what one patient had to say about payment for dialysis care. "I know that I have been absolutely amazed at how expensive the dialysis care is and that it is covered by Medicare for most people. I realize we have donated to the cause all of our working lives, but I, for one, do not take for granted what a blessing it is to have financial help with something so expensive." What to do in an emergency. Rights. You are on PD and your catheter pulled apart. You are on standard in-center HD, and your center is closed due to 3 feet of snow. You are doing nocturnal home HD and have a question at midnight. You have food poisoning and can't take your transplant meds. What do you do? Kidney disease can be scary at the best of times. It's your right to know what you should do if you run into an emergency or your clinic has to close. As Shoshana says, last year during a winter storm, the power at our unit went off while 12 people were being dialyzed. The unit did not have a backup generator. We had been taught how to turn our own cranks if we were able, and those who could began. Our unit is in an office complex, and people from all over the complex came running to help us turn the cranks. Those with less than an hour were taken off as quickly as possible, and those with longer times were continually cranked until the power came back on about 40 minutes later. Very scary, but I was pleased to see how prepared the staff were for the emergency and how helpful the neighboring office workers were. Whether you do treatment at home or in a clinic, your doctor or nurse should tell you what to do if you have an urgent question or an emergency during clinic hours or after hours. He or she should also teach you what symptoms to watch for so you'll know if your kidney disease requires a change in your treatment plan. If you do PD, your PD training nurse will tell you what to do or who to call if you have an emergency. You should be given an emergency clamp kit in case you have a problem with your catheter. Your nurse will teach you how to watch for problems like peritonitis, an infection of the lining of your abdomen, so you can start on antibiotics as soon as possible. Keep at least 1 week of your medications on hand at all times so you don't run out. Ask your clinic what you should do if you don't get your supply delivery on time. Talk with your care team about how to make an emergency plan and kit for your home, including foods, to have on hand if the power goes out. If you use a PD cycler, make sure that your name is on your electric company's priority turn-on list so you get power as soon as possible. Your center can help you do this. If you do home HD, your home training nurse will tell you what to do or who to call if you have an emergency. You'll learn the signs of a problem, how to solve problems during the treatment, and what to do if your machine isn't working right. And you have the right to know what to do if you have a problem with your access. Talk with your care team about how to make an emergency plan and kit for your home, including foods to have on hand if the power goes out. Make sure that your name is on your electric company's priority turn-on list so you get power as soon as possible. Your center can help you do this. Keep at least 1 week of your medications on hand at all times so you don't run out. If you do standard in-center HD, your center should teach you what to do or where to go for dialysis in emergencies like bad weather, earthquake, fire or flood, power outages, and other problems. By law, each center must have a written emergency plan and update it each year. A dialysis center also must have an emergency tray or crash cart on hand, and the staff should know how to use it. You have the right to know what to do in case you have a problem with your fistula, graft, or catheter. Talk with your care team about how to make an emergency plan and kit for your home, including foods to have on hand if the power goes out. Keep at least 1 week of your medications on hand at all times so you don't run out. If you have a transplant, your transplant nurse will tell you what to do or who to call in an emergency. If you are on the transplant waiting list, you'll need to be in reach of a phone or a pager in case a kidney is offered. Keep at least 1 week of your medications on hand at all times so you don't run out. Once you have a transplant, you'll learn the signs of problems so you can get the treatment you need to keep your new kidney working well. Responsibilities. You can avoid some emergencies if you know what to look for. Your job is to learn all you can about kidney disease and your treatment. Then you can ask good questions and get the care you need to stay healthy for as long as possible. If you do PD, watch your catheter, keep your emergency information handy at all times, keeping an emergency food supply in a safe place, and take good care of yourself so you can stay healthy. Be sure your loved ones know what you should do in an emergency so they're ready, just in case. If you do home HD, your job is to watch your access, learn how to do an emergency disconnect from your machine, and keep an emergency food supply in a safe place, just in case. If you don't know what to do if your center is closed or your access is clotted, ask. Write down the answer and keep it where you can find it when needed. If you do standard in-center HD, keep your emergency information handy at all times and take good care of yourself so you can stay healthy. Keep an emergency food supply on hand. Be sure your loved ones know what you should do in emergency so they're ready, just in case. If you have a transplant, your job is to learn what symptoms to watch out for, take your drugs as prescribed, and keep emergency information handy, just in case. Don't just expect facts to come to you. Write down the name of your condition and go out and look for more information at the library, on the internet, or from kidney disease organizations. You can then talk over the information you find with your doctor. Be wary of internet sites that try to sell you drugs or other products to cure CKD. There is no cure for kidney failure. Be sure to look at the date the book or article was written so that you are sure it's up to date. Knowledge is power. How to file a complaint. Rights. If you feel your care is not safe or is not helping you feel better, you have the right to file a complaint or a grievance. Your clinic will have a process for complaints, and you have the right to know what the process is. Write down your complaint in detail with dates, times, what happened, who was involved, who said what, and what you tried to do to solve the problem. If there were witnesses, ask them to write down their accounts too. There can be strength in numbers if a few patients all have the same problem. Most complaints follow a step-by-step process. Step 1. Take your concern to the person you have the problem with. Most conflicts come from communication breakdowns. You may have felt that your needs were ignored, you weren't heard, or you were misunderstood. Tell the person your concerns using I sentences. For example, I felt this when you said that. Most conflicts can be worked out at this point if both parties are willing to talk. Step 2. The social worker at your clinic is often the next person you should speak with. He or she can gather more facts from both sides and try to work out a fair answer. You could also talk to your doctor. Step 3. You may take your grievance right to the clinic administrator. You can ask for a meeting of all parties and ask for help from the social worker. You may also choose a neutral party to act as a mediator and ask to keep your complaint private. Step 4. You can take your complaint to your local end-stage renal disease network, or ESRD, by calling 804-418-7990. The U.S. has 18 ESRD networks that oversee the quality of dialysis care and patient satisfaction. Your network will explain your options and what information is needed from you, and then refer you to the agency that can help you best. Step 5. You can go further by contacting your state survey agency, which inspects dialysis centers to be sure they are made safe. Go to www.medicare.gov/contacts/home.asp. Choose your state and check the box beside quality of care / complaints. When you click on view results, look for ESRD state survey agency. Responsibilities. If these steps don't end in an answer you can feel good about, you have some other options too. Keep in mind, though, that some of these ideas can create bad feelings between you and your clinic or get you labeled as a problem patient who may have trouble finding a place to get care. Choose your battles wisely. Make sure they're worth the cost. Here are some other steps you can take if your complaint is about a clinic safety issue, not a personal complaint about a staff member. Write to the regional or corporate office of the company that owns your clinic. Write a letter and ask patients who agree with you to sign it. Include this in your complaint or other steps you take. Contact your representative or senator's local office. You can find your representative at www.house.gov and your senators at www.senate.gov. Find the consumer action reporter for your local newspaper or TV station and see if you can interest him or her in your problem. Talk to your attorney about your legal rights. How one patient handled a problem. Robin says, I won't go anywhere after a dialysis treatment until I'm sure I'm not going to bleed some more, but I am willing to have my chair moved and wait. However, I've had some times where they did seem to want to rush me out of the chair. I use a wheelchair and have to use my arms to move, and I can't do that if I'm still bleeding. I simply say, I'm not ready. If I have a problem, first I try talking to the staff member directly. If that doesn't work, I go to the director of nursing. Since I'm deaf, I usually write down a friendly note, stick to the facts, and say what I expect. That also gives you documentation. I've never had to go further than that.
You have no doubt seen in your life that how you ask for something can be just as important as what you ask for. Your job is to try to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Be polite. Stay calm. Work with your team to solve problems that you run into. In most cases, they want to help you feel as well as you can. Your medical chart. Rights. Did you know that you have the right to know what's in your medical chart? It's true. You can also ask your doctor to explain parts of your chart to you or a family member in words you can understand. What might you want to know? How about your condition? Treatment options? Your treatment plan? Possible problems you could run into? Prognosis, or the progress you can expect to make? Your lab tests, what they mean, and how you can get them closer to the normal range? If you want a copy of your chart to keep, you can ask for one, but most clinics will charge you for the cost of copying each page. Responsibilities. Be an active partner in your care. You need to have a good sense of your own medical history, such as other illnesses you have had now or in the past, illnesses that affect members of your close family, drugs you are now taking or are allergic to, surgery you have had, why and when. It is your job to remind your doctor of your medical needs and to ask if something doesn't sound right to you. Mistakes can happen. Don't let them happen to you. Here's what one patient says. I have a classic line from my doctor to share with you. After finally agreeing to do 24-hour urine to get a good creatinine clearance, he said, "Well, your clearance was 12%. I guess you really are as sick as you said you were." He had been telling me he thought I was about 15 to 18%. Those of you with doctors who don't listen will appreciate my restraint in not saying, "I told you so." Advanced directives. Rights. What if you had a health setback and couldn't tell the doctor your wishes? Would you ever want to be on a machine to help you breathe? Would you want someone in your family to speak up for you? How can you protect yourself? Fortunately, you have the right to sign an advance directive to state your wishes ahead of time. If you sign an advance directive, it is your job to give a copy to your clinic, your doctor, and your family. Every adult should think about having an advance directive. There are two types of advance directives, and you can sign one or both. The first one is a living will. A living will is a way to state your wishes for your medical care in case a time comes when you can't speak up for yourself. A healthcare power of attorney form lets you choose someone to work with your doctors and make decisions if you can't communicate your wishes for yourself. Healthcare advance directives are legal in every state, but some states require certain forms. Ask your social worker about the laws and forms in your state. The Partnership for Caring has state-specific advance directives at www.caringinfo.org/STATEADDOWNLOAD. The American Medical Association offers four main questions that you should ask yourself when thinking about an advance directive. 1. What are my goals for medical treatment? Your advance directive will be different if your goal is to live as long as you can than if you want to have a certain quality of life, or you just want to be kept comfortable and have a peaceful passing. What are your thoughts right now about goals for your treatment? 2. Who should be my agent if I can't direct my own care? You may or may not have someone you trust enough to put in charge if you can't decide for yourself. Talk to the person you choose as your agent to be sure he or she is willing to take on the role. Have a backup agent in case your first choice is not around when you need help. What are your thoughts right now about who to choose for an agent? 3.
How specific should I be? Your advance directive can state your values and wishes in general, or you can be very detailed about just what treatments you would or would not want. You can't cover every case, so talk with your agents and be clear about why you are making your choices. What are your thoughts right now about how much detail you want to go into? 4. How can I make sure that my healthcare providers will follow my advance directive? Your doctor may not agree with your choices. By law, a doctor can follow his or her own conscience, but will need to find a doctor who will follow your wishes. Your job is to give a signed copy of your advance directive to your doctor and talk about it. Your center must tell you its policy regarding honoring advance directive. If the center will not honor your wishes, you may want to choose another center. What if I change my mind about my advance directive? No problem. You can change an advance directive at any time by writing out a new one and destroying all copies of the old one. Give a copy of the new one to your doctor, your clinic, your family, and anyone else who had the old one. Be sure to ask them to destroy your old one. Your right to take part in your care and treatment. So far in this module, we've talked about your rights and responsibility for information. Now we'll move on to a second main point, your rights and responsibilities for taking part in your care and treatment. You have a care plan and should take part in team meetings about your care. Ask when the meeting is and plan to attend. When it comes to your health care, your voice matters. You have the right to help decide about things that affect your care. This may sound strange to you if your doctor has made most of your medical decisions until now. But kidney disease care is a team effort, and you are the most important person on the team. After all, it is your health that is at stake. So it makes sense that you would have a large part to play in 1. Choosing or changing your treatment, 2. Refusing treatment, tests, or research, 3. Getting information you can understand, 4. Seeing a social worker and dietitian as often as you need to, 5. Getting a second opinion or changing doctors, and 6. Transferring to another clinic. Let's look at these one at a time, along with the jobs that go along with each one. Choosing or changing your treatment. Rights. You have the right to decide what treatments you want for your kidney disease. If you choose a treatment and it doesn't fit your life or make you feel better, you have the right to change treatments. You also have the right to understand your lab tests and how their results guide your treatment. As you can imagine, your right to choose treatment depends on what treatment will work best for you. This right also depends on how willing you are to seek out a treatment you want that may not be offered by your current doctor or clinic. Responsibilities. You are the one who will have to fit your kidney disease treatment into your life. Your job is to make sure that you know enough to make an informed choice. If you don't feel like you have enough facts, ask for more. Take a class. Ask to talk to patients who are doing treatments you're thinking about. Go to the library. Get on the internet. Find what you need. Ask your doctor and care team what tests you're being given and why, what the results are, and how the results will guide your care. What drugs you're being given, what they do, what side effects to watch out for, and if there are less costly drugs that will do the same thing. What treatments there are to help your problem, and where you can get them if they are not offered by your doctor or clinic. How well your treatments are working, and if any other treatment might work better for you. Once your treatment plan is set, it is your job to follow it. This means taking prescribed drugs, having your lab tests done, going to clinic visits, following your meal plan and fluid limits, and getting all of your prescribed dialysis. An active role in your care means that you learn as much as you can about your disease and its treatment. Speak up if you are confused or don't understand something. Ask for information in plain language or write things down so you can look them up later. Ask how to spell medical terms. Here's what one person says about taking an active role. How could anyone with kidney failure not be involved with their care? My husband does home hemo. We are both very involved with his treatment. He's taken info off the internet to his doctors. We discuss everything and question everything we don't understand. Even some of our friends who go to a center to be dialyzed take an active part in their treatment. It doesn't matter what treatment you use. Just ask questions and be involved. Believe me, life will be much better.
What patients say about working with doctors.
Mike says, I once told my doctor I was feeling very tired. He told me my blood work looked normal and that it must be in my head. I asked him how he knew exactly how I felt. I also told him that I didn't care how many years' experience he had or how many patients he has seen, he will never know exactly how another person feels. After that incident, he had a new attitude. Andy says, when I was first diagnosed, my doctor was excited because he thought I could go right from a kidney that wasn't working to a transplant and avoid dialysis altogether. I had tons of info on transplants before I finally got any information on dialysis, and that info wasn't even from my healthcare team. It was from my state chapter of the National Kidney Foundation. My healthcare team would give me as little information on dialysis as possible. At that time, I did not feel that a transplant was the right option for me. I realized that a quick change in my healthcare team was essential. Just remember, you're the boss. It's your decision and your life and body. I found the perfect team for me and couldn't be happier now.
Refusing treatments, tests, or research. Writes, medicine is both a science and an art, so medical decisions are not always clear-cut. Your care team may suggest treatments you don't agree with, or you may have two or more doctors who don't agree on what is your best treatment option. Just as you have the right to choose which treatments to do, you also have the right to refuse treatments you don't want to do. You can refuse to take drugs and or have tests done. What are my rights in research? Research can help doctors and scientists improve the quality of medical care, which may benefit you or may help other people in the future. If you are asked to take part in a research study, you have the right to 1. Have the study explained to you in detail. 2. Sign an informed consent if you decide to take part and keep a copy. 3. Have your medical chart kept private for the study staff only. 4. Be given a number to call if you have any questions about the study. And 5. Drop out of the study at any time. Ask questions and be sure of what you're being asked to do. Some studies ask you to fill out forms, some ask you to take certain drugs, and some studies even test out new surgery methods. Make sure you understand the benefits and possible risks to you and that you feel comfortable with them. The decisions you make will affect your health. You can refuse to take part in research studies, too. This will not affect your care you receive. Responsibilities. As an informed medical consumer, before you refuse a treatment, drug, or test, you need to know what the treatment is, how it's supposed to help you, what your other options are, and what is likely to happen if you don't have the treatment. Ask questions until you have enough answers to make a good decision. If you decide not to do a treatment, take a drug or a test, or take part in research, you may be asked to put your refusal in writing. In some cases, you may be asked to sign an Against Medical Advice or AMA form. This form protects the clinic from lawsuits later, makes it clear that you know that your doctors and nurses believe you need the treatment, drug, or test for your health, and that you are taking responsibility for refusing the recommended treatment. Getting information you can understand. Rights. You can't take part in your care if you don't understand what your care team is saying. Whether you have a hearing impairment or you speak a language other than English, you have the right to translation or interpreter to help you talk with your care team. The dialysis center cannot charge you a fee for this service. The rules do not say how often an interpreter must be offered, but the courts have found that not having an interpreter can be a violation of the American with Disabilities Act if a patient is not able to communicate with the care team. If you have a vision problem, you have the right to be given information in large print, braille, or some other form that will be useful to you. Responsibilities. Ask for an interpreter before a clinic visit if there is something you want to talk about. If you will be starting dialysis, you may want to ask for an interpreter to be on hand for your first 2 or 3 treatments so you can ask questions and the staff can explain what's going on. Some clinics will let you bring along a family member or friend to interpret for you between professional interpreter visits.
If you use a family member or friend to interpret for you, this person will learn things you may not want them to know. Never ask a young child to interpret for you, since this can be emotionally harmful. When you use an interpreter, ask questions to be sure he or she understands your language and your health problem and medical terms well enough to be able to talk to your healthcare team. You may also want to think about other ways you might talk with your team, such as writing notes back and forth. A family member or friend may be able to help you if English is not your first language. Seeing a social worker and dietitian as often as you need to. Rights. The Medicare conditions for coverage require all dialysis centers to have a social worker with a master's degree and a renal dietitian to help patients. If you are on dialysis, you have the right to receive social work and dietitian services. Responsibilities. As much as your healthcare team wants to help you, they can't read your mind. It's your job to ask for what you need, take notes, and ask follow-up questions if you need to ask. If the social worker or dietitian is not at the clinic when you are, make an appointment or leave a message with your number and the best time to call. If you don't get a call back, talk with the clinic manager and ask if he or she can relay the message. Help your social worker and dietitian help you do better. What can a social worker and dietitian do for me? Social work services might include helping you and your family to cope with dialysis, suggesting ideas to help solve problems with your family, friends, or clinic staff, offering counseling or referrals to help you fight depression, referring you to vocational rehabilitation to help you keep your job or get a new one, giving you a list of dialysis centers you could go to on your vacation so you can make travel plans, finding resources to help you pay for your treatments, suggesting transportation sources to help you get to your treatments, helping you find programs to help you pay for your prescribed drugs. Dietitian services might include helping you understand your meal plan and fluid limits, providing nutrient contents of your favorite foods so you can fit them into your meal plan, suggesting ways to season your food without salt to make it tasty, suggesting what to order in restaurants that will suit your meal plan, sharing information about your lab results, how they relate to your meal plan, and whether you're getting enough dialysis, counseling you about exercise to help you get started with an activity plan, suggesting healthy ways to gain or lose weight if needed, and giving you tips for dealing with thirst. Getting a second opinion or changing doctors. Rights. Some people are shy about asking for a second opinion or worrying that their doctors will be upset. But asking for a second opinion is well within your rights, and most doctors don't take offense. In fact, some insurance companies require a second opinion before they will approve a costly treatment. If you want a second opinion, you have the right to expect that your doctor will refer you to someone. With a chronic disease like kidney disease, you need to find a doctor who offers you the most effective treatment options for your condition, who respects your knowledge of your own body, who is willing to answer your questions and help you learn more, who stays up to date on treatment advances that could help you, who listens to you and takes your values and lifestyle into account, and accepts your insurance. You need to work so closely with your nephrologist that if you don't get along well, you may need to think about changing doctors. Responsibilities. Your insurance plan may or may not pay for a second opinion if you want one. If it doesn't, it is your job to pay for the visit. Relationships with doctors, like anyone else, are a two-way street. If you have a hard time getting along with your doctor, talk to him or her and see if you can work it out before you move on. Each patient has different needs, and your doctor may be able to meet yours if he or she knows what they are. If you decide to change doctors, it's polite to tell your current doctor. Your new doctor's office will ask you to sign a form to get a copy of your medical records from your old doctor. Transferring to another clinic. Rights. If you're not happy with the health care you're getting at your current clinic, you can switch if there is another clinic in your area that your health plan covers and if it has a spot for you. You might also think about doing a home-based treatment where you have more control over who helps you with your care. Changing clinics may mean changing doctors as well. You will have to ask your doctor if he or she treats patients at another clinic. You have the right not to be discharged from your clinic without your consent. As long as you pay your bills, your behavior does not harm you or other patients or clinic staff, and the clinic is able to provide you the care you need. If you are discharged, the clinic must give you a 30-day notice, unless the issue is your behavior, and try to find you another center. Some dialysis centers may try to discharge patients who shorten or miss dialysis treatments, don't follow their diet or fluid limits, advocate for themselves or others within the center, or complain about center conditions or staff. While some of these behaviors may not be in your best interest and others may upset the center staff, they should not be the cause of a discharge action. Medicare's conditions for coverage for dialysis centers, Section 405.2138, gives you the right to be transferred or discharged only for medical reasons, for your welfare, or for the welfare of others, or for non-payment of fees. If your center discharges you, staff must give you advance notice, unless your behavior is threatening or violent. Then the action can be immediate. What things could get a center to discharge you? The kinds of behaviors that have caused patients to be discharged include yelling at, swearing at, or threatening staff or other patients, assaulting staff or other patients, sexually inappropriate behavior, bringing a weapon to treatment, or not following the center rules. Standing up for yourself if you have a real grievance should not get you discharged. Stay calm, document your problem, and follow the steps in this module. Responsibilities. If you have kidney disease and are not happy with your clinic, it's your job to talk to your doctor, insurance company, or the clinic administrator about other options. You'll need to find out if there are other clinics nearby that can help you and that are paid for by your insurance. If you are on dialysis and need to transfer to another dialysis center, it's your job to talk with your social worker about your options. He or she can tell you about other centers in your area. You can also look for a new center yourself. There are a few ways you can find a new center if you're not happy with your current one, if you're moving to a new place, or if you'd like to travel. At www.globaldialysis.com, you can look for centers in the U.S. or around the world. To find a clinic that offers home dialysis, PD, or home hemo, go to the Find a Center database at Home Dialysis Central, www.homedialysis.org. Once you find a center, go to Medicare's Dialysis Facility Compare site to learn about how it compares to other nearby centers for dialysis adequacy, anemia control, and patient survival, what types of dialysis they offer, and more. This site can be found at www.medicare.gov/dialysis/home.asp. Your right to respect and dignity. We've talked about your rights and responsibilities for information and for taking part in your care and treatment. Now we'll move on to our last main point, your rights and responsibility for respect and dignity. Needing regular treatment for kidney disease doesn't make you less of a person. You have the right to be treated with consideration and respect, to receive treatment that is equal to what other patients are getting, whether your treatment is at home or in-center, and to have your privacy and confidentiality maintained. Being treated with consideration and respect. Rights. You have the right to be treated with respect by your doctor and all staff members in the clinic. This means, among other things, that you will be treated kindly, that your request will be heard and responded to, and that you will be safe. Expect that your modesty will be respected. For example, curtains will be pulled if you need to use a bedpan or if use of your access will expose part of your body. In turn, your job is to treat the staff with the same respect you expect from them. Try to be patient about getting your needs met when your team is busy and caring for others. Be clear about which of your requests are urgent and which ones can wait a little while until someone can help you. In the dialysis center, it is also your job to respect the rights of other patients and visitors who share the same space with you, sometimes for a few hours at a time. This might mean that you ask before you choose a TV channel if you need to share a TV. Take turns choosing a channel if you don't agree on what to watch. Bring headphones when you listen to music so others don't have to hear it too. Turn off the sound on handheld games so the beeping doesn't annoy people. Cover your nose if you sneeze or your mouth if you cough. Skip perfume in case people are allergic to it. Talk softly if you're using a cell phone. And don't share medical information you hear about someone else. Receive equal treatment. Rights. You have the right to receive medical care without discrimination. Every person, no matter what race, color, sex, religion, sexual preference, national origin, or how they pay for treatment, has a right to expect good, safe medical care. Responsibilities. If you believe that you are being treated differently by your care team or clinic because of your race, color, sex, religion, sexual preference, national origin, or how you pay for treatment, follow the steps we talked about earlier to file a complaint. Medical privacy. Rights. It is your right to expect that your medical and payment records will be kept private unless you give written permission to release them. A law called the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act gives you even more rights to ensure that your health information stays private. This law makes sure that your personal health information goes only to people who need to see it to care for you. The HIPAA privacy rule also lets you request to correct your chart or have a letter of disagreement put in your chart if you think there is an error, like a wrong diagnosis. Decide who can see your chart. Keep a hospital from telling people if you are admitted. Ask your care team to keep communications to you private, such as sending letters instead of postcards or leaving messages on your voicemail at home, but not at work. Keep your medical records private. Know your rights, and don't be afraid to ask for them. Many healthcare providers are now giving you their privacy policies. Read and keep them. It's just one more way of being an active part of your healthcare team. We're ready to wrap up this module on rights and responsibilities. You probably have a lot more rights than you knew about before reading this module. This is good news, because knowing what your rights are allows you to use them to your benefit. And of course, you benefit most when you are using your rights responsibly. This is the conclusion of Module 14 of Kidney School. We hope you enjoyed it and found it helpful, and we'll listen to the other modules.